Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho, and here is where we talk with people helping struggling teens and young adults. All the interviews in this series can be found at my website, strugglingteens.com. Today is October 12th, 2016, and we are going to talk about brains. My guest is Jason Grigla. He's the executive director of Techie for Life, a new young adult vocational school. In his past, he was a mental health technician for about 15 years. So, good morning, Jason. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Lon. Thanks for having me.
The topic title is Our Need for Atypical Brains. And it can be very interesting. It gets into the subject of a lot of people that are labeled as having some kind of a disability, but I think what Jason's going to inform us is that there's a lot of strengths behind those alleged disabilities. So, Jason, tell me, what do you mean or what is an atypical brain?
Well, so Lon, before we jump into that, and I once again say thanks for letting me come onto your show and discuss this. We typically talk about brains in the sense of functional or not functional, smart or not smart, intelligent or not intelligent. And when we think about the diagnoses that the DSM or the psychology field places on people to try to understand different patterns and different symptoms and how to treat them and understand them, we get more and more boxes. And the problem with that is, I think, like you mentioned, that labels and diagnoses tend to minimize and dismiss the whole person. They take into account only small pieces of it. I think our discussion in the psychology world, and especially those who work with those who don't have typical brains, is moving much more towards a non-diagnosis approach or view, and more towards their brains are different, not necessarily disabled. And that's not just a feel-good. We don't want to say people are disabled because there are definitely disabilities involved, and I think we can talk about that. But the perspective is shifting to a different doesn't mean bad. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you forgive me, a metaphor that we use often is if you think of a typical brain, the brain typical just means what most people have. It doesn't mean smarter or better. It just means what most people have. So a typical brain is like a round ball of clay or silly putty. And most people think of atypical brains or disabilities such as autism or nonverbal learning disorder or other types of different brains. It's almost like they think that there's a big chunk of that ball of putty or clay missing, when the reality is it's not missing anything. It's just in a different shape. And so, for example, high functioning autism or any autism, if you take that ball of clay and you roll it a little bit on a table, it makes it elongated into an oval. It still has all the pieces, but now that you've changed the structure of the brain, they tend to have higher strengths and some lower strengths that go along with that shape change.
Let me interject something. I sort of understand it in that we all are different. We have individual differences. This is a particular type of difference, but it's still within that general spectrum of human experience or human brains. It's just a specific thing. That's how I understand it. And so mm-hmm. we shouldn't be thinking of it as a disability. You should be thinking, this is different. They might be colorblind, but boy, can they do computer code or something like that.
That's exactly right. And they are more extremely different than the majority, and then we always have to put in boxes. And if they're outside of the normal bell curve to a certain level, if they're different than maybe 25%, or if they're in the top 25% of different brains, maybe we would call that atypical. I don't know where to draw the line. And we're not as interested in drawing lines or boxes as we are finding out what are the strengths and what are the weaknesses so that we can build on those for every brain.
Well, what are some of the strengths of an atypical brain that you're referring to?
Okay, so there's several ways you could look at strengths and weaknesses and develop those. For example, the types of intelligence that people use, there's 9 of them. For example, let me talk about autists or those who are on the autism spectrum. They can be very naturalistic intelligent, where they connect with animals really well. A lot of that's because of their social and emotional and anxiety type issues. Animals feel safer. They're more straightforward. There's no guile. There's no nuances. They can often have musical intelligence, where they are brilliant in understanding the patterns and the feel of music. They're often very intelligent in the logical, mathematical areas, the STEM areas, that are much more concrete and are more about facts than subjective, nuanced issues and philosophies. They're not too high in existential intelligence, but a high-functioning autist often has the ability to remember everything someone says about existential intelligence, and so they can have a conversation about it, but they might not be able to compare and contrast anything that would be nuanced. Interpersonal intelligence is hard for those on the spectrum because social and emotional issues are very much nuanced, with body language, tone of voice, the environment that's going on. Those things are not as concrete. And so someone with this brain that's been rolled a little bit, and so it's more of an oval than a circle, is really good at grabbing memory often, and I'm generalizing because everyone on the spectrum is very individual and different. Some are very social, some are very introverted, some are very good at science, and some are very good at math, and they're all just as different as the rest of us. So those are some of the intelligences, but one of the things that we look for our school, for example, is a pattern thinking brain. Those who are good at the concrete things, they don't have to have a great memory, but they do need to be able to see things in patterns. And pattern thinkers can remember how to code and write software and technology, and that's what we do at our school. So we make sure that we do an assessment where we want to look at their interests and also their aptitudes. Where are their strengths?
Yeah, let me interject back on what we were talking about a little bit earlier on the metaphor. Mm-hmm. And the way I understand it, this whole discussion that you're talking about, is there's ways of compensating, and people found ways to compensate. Like, I'm color weak. I have trouble seeing various colors. And so on dressing, I've learned the clothes that go with each other by memorization. Most people, if they have a sense of color, they sense it. Well, if I didn't remember what to do or be told what to do in dressing and picking the clothes, I could really make a social faux pas. So I think that's a similar pattern that what atypical people do, particularly like an Asperger's, is they remember, this is what you do. You don't get into their face within 3 inches of their face when you're talking to them. They memorize those things instead of just intuiting it. Anyway,
and
go ahead.
The world around that person that's diagnosed as autistic or high-functioning autism or Asperger's, they wouldn't be the ones to decide what's socially appropriate or what makes them what makes people uncomfortable, but they absolutely can learn how to manage the things around them that they're not as functional in. So if you take that ball of clay or putty that I'm talking about and you roll it out even further and it becomes more of a snake than an oval, then you get some really high disability and disconnect because the brain actually shorts out if it's too concrete, has too much going on, and then parts of the brain are more disconnected, and then you get someone that's what we call lower functioning autism, where they really don't speak and they don't manage and they don't comprehend, and in there somewhere might be an absolutely brilliant ability that we may not be able to ever flesh out, but we've all seen stories and pictures and read about those who are extremely gifted in some of the sciences or pattern or fractal thinking or
music for that, and music of course is related to it, but child prodigies, Mozart, own composition at the age of 3. I watched a gal that was playing some classical piece. Great job. She was 3 years old.
Right.
So the really
cool thing we're learning now is back in the in the dark ages, middle centuries, they didn't care about functional as much as, well, he either does it or he doesn't. There wasn't a bunch of psychologists running around trying to figure out what everybody is. They just did with what they had. And we're moving back towards that. And so when we have a vocational school that's not a therapeutic school that focuses on atypical brains and what they need, What we're saying is that the normal college systems are not accommodating or not set up for these brains that are atypical. They want everyone to fit into a specific pattern. And we know that that doesn't work for many people. So when we're able to take a kid and look at his strengths and support them through their weaknesses, they can do amazing things. And our job community, our employers are lacking employees that have certain qualities that this population can have. So if you take someone who's not good at the social nuances, for example, they're also not going to be interested in business espionage, corporate espionage. They don't think in terms of how can I manipulate the system? How much can I get away with? What they are thinking about is what comes next, what's expected, and is the person next to me going to be making those loud crunching noises at lunch again, and it's going to drive me nuts because they're so focused on concrete things like sounds and touch and sensory issues. Hmm. So when you learn what they are and who they are, you can end up with some employees that are exactly what an employer needs. If every employee fits the same box, then you've got a really shallow pool to choose from, and that's not usually good for product. End product requires a really big net of types of employees to catch all different types of things.
One of the things I've heard most often along that line is programmers in Silicon Valley is an example, is that the skills fit very much a really booming field and well-paid field of computer programming. I heard one statistic that claimed about one-third of the residents of Silicon Valley or the workers in Silicon Valley are autists. That sounds like a good deal there, and sounds like you're really onto something with this Techie for Life.
Well, we aren't trying to fit this population into the tech field as much as we've looked at what they can do and what they're good at and what they're interested in. And then we've gone to the private sector market and said, what does the market actually bear out? And we get a lot of calls for people saying, hey, my son wants to be a computer programmer, but really he just wants to design and play video games. You know, and we think that's normal for a teenager or even a young adult to want to do that. And we're also there to be the mature soundboard and say that's not necessarily realistic. Let me explain why. And, you know, let's talk about what the market will actually bear. It's not really fair to tell these kids who are already up against being atypical in a world of average brains to tell them that if you just do what you love, everything will work out, because it often doesn't. And the numbers and the research is showing that it's not working out. You know, more than 70% of people on the spectrum are either underpaid or at a job under their ability or not working at all.
Okay. Well, with that, we've about run out of time, and we've just begun to hardly scratch the surface. But would you give a little bit about your school, Techie for Life, and you know where you are, and then what you do? You've mentioned somewhat, but focus on it. And then the contact information if somebody wants to learn more about or talk to you and follow this discussion up, or if they might be interested in what Techie for Life offers.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I just want to put a plug in for our students. Our students are some of the best people we know. They are kind, they have good hearts, they want to do well. We don't have a lot of behavioral issues. We do have a lot of kids that shut down and have anxiety, and those are the kids that I want to work with and that are very rewarding to have a relationship and a mentoring relationship with. And so what we did is, as a therapist, I wanted to go out and look at what was the actual needs. And more than being a therapist, I'm a father of a kid on the spectrum, and he's an Aspie. And even though that's not a diagnosis anymore, that's his identity, and it's something he's accepted and adopted. So what we did is we looked into the actual private sector, into what can these students, these young adults, do to bridge that gap after the services cliff ends in high school. And so we partnered with some businesses in the community here in Southern Utah. Utah has a great technology and computer software culture, and they're growing, and lots of companies are opening their doors here, and lots of startup entrepreneur companies. So what we did is we started a vocational school that teaches the life skills and the social skills and the professional skills, along with the coding vocational skills that are marketable. and we support them more than a normal student would because they need it. Not necessarily the skills. They learn those really fast, but they actually need a lot more support to deal with things like anxiety or unknowns. And so Techie for Life opens its doors about 3 or 4 months ago, and that's what we do, is neuroatypicals that need extra support to get into an actual career. So we're a vocational school, and we're very therapeutically supported, even though we're not licensed as a therapeutic intervention.
Okay, well, that sounds really great. If somebody wanted to know more about Techie for Life or to talk to you and further this discussion, how would they get a hold of you?
Sure, they can go to our website, techieforlife.com. They can call me directly just to talk about anything, even if they're a student or their son or their nephew or their grandkid is a neuroatypical. I'd love to talk to them and give them some other options, even if we're not a good school. I'm a very passionate advocate for this field. My phone number is 623-703-2261, and my email is the letter J, Grygla, G-R-Y-G-L-A, at techieforlife.com. jgrygla@techieforlife.com.
Well, very good. Thank you very much. Well, this is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. We've been talking with Jason Grygla about our need for atypical brains. And he's the founder of the Techie for Life. And if you want to contact him, I'm sure he'll tell you all about it. And thank you very much. Good to have you here, Jason. Very enlightening. And sorry we ran out of time. It's fascinating.
Not a problem. Thanks for all you do, Lon.
Okay. Well, you have a good day.
You too. Bye.